From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this look at local and statewide news. An array of Alaska Democratic legislative candidates surged into the lead yesterday. That's after election officials released tallies of nearly half of the estimated 150,000 ballots that remained uncounted. A citizens initiative to overhaul Alaska's elections, Ballot Measure 2, also made up substantial ground in yesterday's count, and it appears that that race will come down to the wire. Early this morning, political data firm Edison Research called Alaska's presidential race for President Donald Trump and the U.S. Senate race for incumbent Republican Dan Sullivan. Later, the Associated Press called the U.S. House race for Republican Don Young. There's more counting planned for tonight. You can check out KTOO.org after 5 p.m. for the latest election results. Another four Alaskans have died of COVID-19, the state health department reported today. It's the second day that the state has reported multiple deaths. Yesterday, the state announced that a record 8 Alaskans had died with COVID-19. The state also reported today that an additional 493 people in Alaska tested positive for COVID-19, though state health officials say daily counts may underestimate the true number of cases. Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital is seeing a surge in children experiencing mental health crises. And as KTOO's Adeline Baxter reports, hospital officials say the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic are to blame.
Bartlett's emergency department has treated an unprecedented number of kids experiencing high levels of stress, thoughts of self-harm, and suicide attempts over the past 6 months. Chief Behavioral Health Officer Bradley Grigg told the Juneau Assembly on Monday that the kids and their families bring up the impacts of the pandemic when interviewed by staff.
We're not really attributing everything here specifically to COVID, but what we are saying is that this is what our families and our parents are sharing when they come in crisis. There seems to be precipitating factors connected with that stress level.
According to hospital data, during the nine-month period from July 2019 to last March, kids made up about 4% of the patients seen in the emergency department for behavioral health crises. After the pandemic began in March and schools moved to online learning, that number shot up. Between April and June of this year, kids made up almost 20% of the cases.
While we say age 17 and under, the youngest one we've seen is 5. We've seen a few of those. Our most common age group at this point in the last 6 months has been 13, 14.
From April through September, the number of children 13 and under who attempted suicide also grew dramatically. Families involved in treatment after an incident talk about financial struggles and housing issues. Those concerns are clearly trickling down to kids, Grigg said, who also bring up virtual school and the lack of sports and extracurricular activities. And the problem isn't exclusive to any one demographic.
And they're families that you know, they're families that I know, they're families that we pass not only in the grocery store, but and any other activities we do. We may not recognize them at first with the mask on, but eventually, I mean, these are folks that we know. They come from all walks. They come from all areas of town.
Assemblymember Wade Bryson weighed in as a parent who has dealt with some of the same concerns.
I can assure you that not only does the kid stress about it, but the parents not having clear direction, not having a clear answer on how to solve it, also adds an element of stress. Depression and these type of illnesses affect the whole family, not just the individual kid.
Grigg says Bartlett reached out to the state several months ago to ask for help responding to the high number of cases. The state provided some funding to help expand outpatient services at the hospital. That's allowed staff to do more follow-up with families and patients in the weeks and months following a crisis. But Grigg said as the pandemic drags on and social isolation continues to impact mental health, they need to do more. He and Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss have talked about what they're seeing. During a community update Tuesday, Weiss said the district is using grant money to hire more positions as virtual learning continues.
We are looking at how we can support students and families in this really unique situation where students are missing out on not only the structure part of those activities, but the social part of that.
Grigg and Weiss plan to meet with local organizations to talk about solutions, like training educators and coaches in how to recognize the signs of stress in children and ways to address it. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And if you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Senator Lisa Murkowski, as the author of an annual bill that funds federal resource agencies, has the opportunity to erect hurdles for the Pebble Mine. But yesterday she released her bill, and opponents of the mine were underwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's Tim Bristol, director of Salmon State, one of the groups that says the proposed gold and copper mine upstream from Bristol Bay should not get a federal permit. He says Murkowski appears to have passed up a chance to demonstrate that she really meant what she said in October when she called it the wrong mine in the wrong place.
I think if we would have seen something that essentially recommended no spending be allowed in the next fiscal year to move forward with the Pebble project, that would have been a little more reassuring. But this doesn't do that. It just seems to sort of describe the situation as it is right now.
Murkowski included a 240-word passage on Pebble in the report that interprets the spending bill. It reiterates that the Army Corps of Engineers has determined the mine can't be permitted as proposed. It notes that Pebble has until mid-November to come up with a wetlands mitigation plan. The report also says that if the Pebble Limited Partnership can't come up with a complete and functional plan by the deadline, the Senate Appropriations Committee encourages the government to deny the permit. Murkowski told reporters from E&E News she thinks Pebble won't be able to submit a plan that meets the requirements. Murkowski spokeswoman Karina Berger says that the senator wants to be sure that the Corps knows it must hold the mitigation plan to a high standard. And Berger says if Pebble can't meet it, now is the time to end the process. Pebble spokesman Mike Heatwall says the company is still on track to produce a mitigation plan by November 18th. Pebble maintains the mine would do no measurable damage to the salmon populations of Bristol Bay. Pebble officials have said they expect the Corps of Engineers could issue a permit decision before President Trump leaves office and that it would be hard for President-elect Joe Biden to reverse course. It's almost mid-November, and there are a few bears still active in the Juneau area. And that may seem unusual, but KTOO's Matt Miller reports on why it's not.
Gloria Soto Yelger checked out her security cam footage just after this month's first big snowstorm. And there they were, after 1 o'clock in the morning, slowly ambling across the front of her house and parking area. A big mama black bear trailed by two new cubs of the year.
Yeah, they call them. They are big bears, and mamas are super big, and the cubs are so cute, you know, very small.
Soto Yalgur is not the only one. Other Juneau residents recently posted on social media videos of roaming bears or pictures of prints in the fresh snow. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is still getting reports of bears roaming through Juneau neighborhoods looking for food. Anthony Krupe says it's not that unusual to still see bears out right now.
Most bears are probably encouraged to head to the den once resources really become limited and covered in this depth of snow that we've received the last week.
Krupe is a biologist with Fish and Game, but he focuses on research. He captures bears, puts radio collars on them, collects samples, and tracks their movements with trail cameras. The information he collects is crucial for understanding bear biology, behavior, and abundance. About Halloween or so, Krupe says black bears usually start denning up for winter hibernation. They will find a hollow tree or excavate part of the roots as their den for as much as 3 to 8 months. Their core body temperature, heart rate, and metabolism will all drop dramatically. They won't eat, poop, or pee, and Krupe says they're essentially living off of their fat reserves. And here's a little-known fun fact you may not know about hibernating bears. A fertilized egg in a female bear will delay implantation until she starts hibernation. Whether a mama bear later has a cub or has as many as three cubs can hinge on how healthy she is and how much fat she has built up during the summer.
A bear that doesn't have enough fat, you could see that those animals wouldn't survive. Their cubs may not be produced, or they come out in the spring with really poor body conditions.
This has been a bad year for bears in Juneau. There was less natural food because of lackluster salmon runs and a poor berry crop. Krupe says that means bears were also looking for food elsewhere, like human garbage. they became conditioned to associate food as a reward for their encounters with humans, knocking over garbage cans and breaking into homes and vehicles. ADF&G's Roy Churchwell says they responded to a record total of 19 bears this year. Of those, 5 bears were physically moved out of town. They put down or killed 11 bears that became a danger to life or property.
Once they break into cars or something like that, we really don't have any other choice other than to euthanize them.
Meanwhile, Gloria Soto Yauger says she's seen bears make a mess by going through garbage in her Churchill Park neighborhood in Lemon Creek.
And this year, it has been worse. There's been no more bears lately.
But she takes steps like freezing her discarded food until garbage pickup day. And only then does she put out her can minutes before the garbage truck arrives. Her big pro tip, though, is spraying down her garbage can with a eucalyptus-based odor and germ killer called Odoban, which she finds at a big box home improvement store near her neighborhood. She describes the last time a bear checked out her garbage can after she sprayed it.
She or he put the can down on the ground and smelled. He got up and left.
Besides an occasional stroll in front of her house, she says she hasn't had a single problem with bears since then. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The winter weather advisory for the region has been canceled. Today's accumulation of snow is expected to be less than half an inch, and tonight that snow could turn to rain showers after midnight. The low is around 35 tonight, and while there's an 80% chance of precipitation, little or no snow accumulation is expected. More rain tomorrow, turning to snow possibly between 9 a.m. and noon, but the high tomorrow could reach 38 degrees. The mix of snow and rain continues through Friday and the weekend, though it looks like it could get colder and clear up by Monday. These stories and more can be found at our website, ktoo.org. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. This is KTOO Juneau 104.3.